and doorbuster deals and our lowest prices on outdoor shades, faux wood blinds, and more. And with deals this good, you can upgrade your whole house with the latest styles, premium materials, and even motorization so you can kick back and watch the leaves change this fall. Whether you do it yourself or have us handle the measuring and installation for you, Blinds.com makes ordering custom window treatments online easy with free samples, free shipping, and a 100% guaranteed perfect fit. And with 35,000 five-star customer reviews, it's no wonder why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window treatments in the world. Shop our Labor Day sales event going on right now and close out the summer in style. Visit Blinds.com to shop up to 45% off site-wide. That's Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Pay over time with PayPal credit at Blinds.com. PayPal credit is subject to credit approval. Visit Blinds.com/PayPal for details. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free, no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Getting the right prescription drugs at an affordable price can be tough for everyone, especially seniors. You trust your doctor to help you make the best decisions for your healthcare and medications. But now, DC liberals are pushing a plan to empower the government to limit which drugs you have access to. This plan could literally give the government a bigger say in your healthcare than you and your doctor, and allow Washington bureaucrats to override decisions about your medications made by you and your doctor. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto just voted for a budget that could make the D.C. Liberals' big government plan a reality. Call Senator Catherine Cortez Masto at 202-224-3542 and tell her to oppose any changes or new taxes that would limit access to prescription drugs in Medicare Part D. Paid for by One Nation. www.onenationamerica.org.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Biden is unapologetic about ending America's 20-year military mission in Afghanistan. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Marking the close of U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, the president used a White House speech to the nation to forcefully defend his decision to withdraw.
I was not going to extend this forever war, and I was not extending a forever exit.
He described the airlifting of tens of thousands of people out of the country as an extraordinary success, saying 90% of Americans who wanted to leave were able to leave. But the president still faces stiff criticism for the chaotic way the evacuation was handled. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Hurricane Ida isn't quite done with the United States dumping bands of rain from the Gulf Coast into New England, but in Louisiana, they're just starting to recover from the powerful storm. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says 80% of all the rescues done in Louisiana on Monday were in St. John the Baptist Parish.
It was not just surge, but you got plenty of surge. It was not just wind, but you got plenty of that. But also some of the heaviest rains that fell anywhere in the state of Louisiana fell on St. John the Baptist Parish.
Ida ravaged the region's power grid, leaving a million people and businesses in Louisiana without power. The entire city of New Orleans is dark, and officials say they don't know when the power would return. The Texas legislature sent a sweeping rewrite of the state's election laws to Republican Governor Greg Abbott on Tuesday, dealing a bruising defeat for Democrats after a months-long bitter fight over voting protocols. Abbott has said he'll sign the changes into law, which could happen in the coming days. Democrats twice this summer walked out on the bill to stop it from passing. That included fleeing to Washington, D.C. and refusing to come back to the state capital for 38 days. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 39 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Nala's got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DinoVite.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com.
DinoVite.com.
Alex and Orlando De Castroverde are third-generation lawyers and lifelong Nevadans. They built De Castroverde Law Group personal injury on their family principles. When you've been injured, they'll fight the insurance companies, seek maximum compensation, and stand by you the entire way, just like family. De Castroverde Law Group personal injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
It's 304. This is your KMTQ News Flash, powered by De Castroverde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. The PBR Finals is leaving Las Vegas. Local tourism officials confirm that this November's Pro Bowl Riders World Finals at T-Mobile Arena will end a decades-long deal between Las Vegas and the tour. Las Vegas has been home to the PBR Championship event since its creation in 1994. When asked why the event was leaving Las Vegas, the one-word answer given? Money. The finals will be held in Texas starting next year. Nevada's COVID-19 test positivity rate for Friday through Sunday remained steady at 12.7%. But has been dropping since its recent high of 16.4 on August 13th. Clark County's 14-day rolling rate continues to drop, going from 12.7% on Friday to 11.5% on Sunday, a decline of more than 32% from its recent peak on August 8th. Las Vegas visitor numbers continue to get better, but have yet to get back to 2019 levels. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority reports more than 3.3 million visitors came to town in July, almost 130% better than the same time last year, but 10% short of July of 2019.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Well, you're averaging about 45 miles per hour as you work your way through the resort corridor of Interstate 15, mainly between Tropicana and Charleston, both directions. And it's a bottleneck at the Spaghetti Bowl. Only 2 lanes available there, 515 eastbound at Main Street. Also 2 lanes available, 515 westbound at Eastern.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Number one. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local, and the president spoke to the nation today. We had thought it might be a prime time address. It turned out he did it during the day. Obviously, he has a curfew, and he didn't want to be up late. The president spoke. By my estimation, there were no apologies. And in fact, he doubled down on some of his campaign rhetoric about closing down the war in Afghanistan. Joining us now, very happy to have Ben Williamson on. He's a former deputy assistant to President Trump. He is currently executive director of the Freedom First PAC, and he joins us. Ben, first of all, thanks for joining us. Did you get a chance to see much of the speech?
I did, Kevin. It's good to be with you, first of all. I wish it was under better circumstances, but really happy to be back with you and good to talk to you. I did catch it. It was, like you said, seemed like it was more focused on campaign rhetoric than it was actually solving any of the problems, some of which are still ongoing. I mean, we've got Americans left behind in Afghanistan, and this administration instead seems to want to focus more on spin than they do on getting that fixed. But, you know, a disappointing speech, but that's to be expected from a president with a curfew.
One of the problems that I saw in the speech is that he wanted to look ahead. He didn't want to look back. The problem is that we're going to have to look back to see how this fiasco occurred and how we can make sure this never happens again to an American president where he just bungles his way through the entire thing.
Well, we are going to have to look back at it, Kevin. You're absolutely right. I mean, think about it. 13 dead soldiers, $60 billion worth of U.S. military equipment now in the hands of the Taliban, and we have hundreds of stranded Americans and American allies, at least that we know of, stranded behind enemy lines. I mean, this was a failure through and through. Let's not get it twisted. You're going to hear a lot of spin over the next few days from this administration about the record number that they put into an airlift, about the greatest number of rescues in American history. This was a failure. It was a failure by any stretch, and we're going to have to look back at it. There's going to need to be accountability. But so far, we haven't seen any of that from this administration. All we've seen is political spin, and it's disappointing.
I know that in the last 2 weeks, the president has tried to spin this thing that it's not a stain on America, that I talked to Angela Merkel, and I talked to Boris Johnson, I talked to all these different people, these world leaders across Western Europe, and they all say that we are still the anchor. My question is, is he listening to any of this criticism? You'd get a sense there's no reason for criticism at all.
Well, Kevin, as you mentioned, when you go to bed at 6 p.m., you may not have time to catch the news at night and maybe see what people are saying. So let's be fair to the president. But I mean, listen, our allies around the world, they're seeing what you and I see. They're seeing what your listeners see. I mean, think about it. You can go through the list of what Biden said. He said it would be an orderly transition. It wasn't. He said that there was no imminent threat to Kabul when we pulled out. There was. He said it was highly unlikely the Taliban would control Afghanistan this month. They already control Afghanistan now. He said it wouldn't be like Saigon. I argue he's actually right. It was worse than Saigon in Vietnam. And worst of all, he said we'd stay and keep all troops there until every single American got out. Well, he was wrong. And he either lied or he was seriously misinformed about his own military's plan, because we have no troops there now, and we have hundreds of American civilians that want to get out that can't get out. So this has been a disaster by any stretch. You know it, I know it, your listeners know it, and unfortunately, our allies around the world know it too, even if Biden won't admit it.
What lies ahead for Afghanistan?
I wish I knew, Kevin. I really wish I knew. I mean, unfortunately now, we don't have the intelligence resources on the ground in order to really have a great assessment. You know, I know there are a lot of differing opinions on what we should have done with Afghanistan moving forward. I happen to support where President Trump was, that we withdraw troops out of Afghanistan under a conditions-based agreement where, you know, the Taliban or be it any group that wanted to come in Afghanistan was under the impression and understanding that the United States would strike back if any kind of condition wasn't upheld. I hope that's what this administration is going to do, but I have no confidence. I mean, you look at what the State Department is saying right now, where they're talking about how the Taliban has to decide what their role in the international community will be. Kevin, they decided years ago, decades ago, what their role in the international community is going to be. They're terrorists, and we need to treat them as such and see them as such. But unfortunately, I don't think that's what this administration sees. I hope that our resources and focus will go toward getting the Americans out That needs to be the first priority. It should have been the priority months ago. But so far, they haven't been successful, and there's still hundreds of people there stranded.
I know Tony Blinken and the SecDef and the president have all said in the last 24 hours that we're going to use diplomacy to get our 100 or 200 Americans out of there. Is diplomacy going to work? I mean, will we get these people back unharmed?
Well, they keep talking out of both sides of their mouth. You notice how they keep trying to send the message that they don't trust the Taliban, but it becomes clear every time they talk or every time they answer a question, to the extent that they even do answer questions, that so much of their plan relies on the Taliban following through with its word. But unfortunately, you know, the administration has put us in a spot where diplomacy is really the one tool we have right now, unless the president wants to get tough and start threatening retribution for a Taliban that, you know, certainly that harms any American, but also doesn't follow through on any of their promises. They seem to want to approach this with a weakness that I fear will put Americans in harm's way, because they don't seem to be able to put their money where their mouth is. They don't seem willing to back up any kind of threats that they have, they being our government. And I think the Taliban's going to notice that. I hope it doesn't come to anything that we're going to regret, but I fear we're headed down that path.
How does Afghanistan function, and who is it that's going to lead it? Is it going to be the Taliban? Is it going to be ISIS-K? Is there going to be some sort of consensus government? Who's going to run the show there?
You know, the Taliban says they're going to run the show, and the Biden administration seems to want to believe they're going to run the show. I don't know how smart that is, certainly because even if you can claim that one body is running the show over there, you already have a presence with ISIS-K over there confirmed, and you have Al-Qaeda back in the region. I mean, the President Trump was so insistent upon when he was speaking with Taliban leaders was that if we're going to sit down with you, if we're even going to have a conversation, you need to sever any and all relationships you have with Al-Qaeda. That was a key portion of our agreement that the Biden administration keeps wanting to talk about now. And they haven't done that. They're back with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda clearly has a presence in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. So like it or not, they're likely going to be a player in there as well. And our military is going to have to be on guard. We're going to have to be on guard at home. And with the way the Biden administration has handled this, it's made the U.S. A less safe country today than it was even 6-7 months ago. There's no doubt about that.
Again, Ben Williamson joining us, the former deputy assistant to President Trump, the executive director of Freedom First PAC. I know today there was a run on the banks in Kabul. People, long lines around the block to try and get their money out of the banks. Financially, how does Afghanistan exist without foreign aid? And is the world going to rally around Afghanistan and start doling out money?
It certainly seems like that's what they're going to do. I mean, if you heard Jake Sullivan making the rounds on morning TV, he mentioned the possibility of giving foreign aid to the Taliban, which, unless we extract significant concessions from them, most notably getting our hostages home, that would be a huge, huge mistake. But the name of the game right now is chaos. We really don't know who's in charge over there. We don't know, even if we knew who was in charge, we don't know how long that's going to last. And like you said up front, you know, our allies see the weakness that the United States displayed on the front end and during this evacuation. And so I fear that when we come to the table next, be it with solutions or be it with a pressing problem we need to handle, I don't know that the United States seat at the table is going to be as respected as it would have been 6 months ago, 7 months ago, certainly a year ago under President Trump, thanks to this president's decision and the decisions of his military brass.
I know that we are all mourning the loss of 13 members of our military, but I want to ask you a question that I wish I could ask the former president, because I'll bet you he'd hit this one out of the park, and that is the role of the military. We have seen this so many times down through the years. Just after the 16-year anniversary of Katrina, it wasn't until the military got to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast that all of a sudden stuff started working. Can you talk a little bit about the role of the military and what a phenomenal job they did, even if their civilian leadership was lacking?
Kevin, they are the greatest people, the greatest operation that the world has ever known and will ever know, quite simply. And you're right, the president, you get him in a room and get him talking about our military, you better be prepared to pull up a chair, because he could talk for hours about the military, how much he loves them, the great job that they did under him and under previous presidents. I mean, I think in this situation, there's no organized body on earth that could have covered for the kind of mistakes that our military very effectively covered for over the last 2 to 3 weeks and really beyond. I mean, you talk about the kind of numbers we were up against with Afghanistan falling, with ISIS-K crawling throughout the region, and the Taliban taking key choke points in Kabul. The idea that we could even evacuate over 100,000 people, that our military could do that, is fairly remarkable. And it's just a testament to how wonderful they are at their jobs. It's a testament to the kind of men and women we send to do these missions. But that's, like you said, that's what makes failures of leadership all the more tragic, is when you take service and effectiveness of these kinds of people that we have in the rank and file of our military, and you submit them to leadership that clearly doesn't know what they're doing. It makes it all the more tragic. It cost us 13 lives, 20 more wounded, and hundreds of civilians dead. And it's certainly not something that we hate to see happen, and we mourn. Absolutely, we do as a country.
Look in your crystal ball, Ben, because I'm dying to know what you think the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks will look like. And in particular, once they unleash ISIS-K, will there be a civil war in Afghanistan among the Taliban, other factions, and, of course, ISIS-K? What is it you worry that will happen here in these next few weeks?
Well, I worry there's going to be quite a bit of chaos, Kevin. We're going into the last third of fighting season toward the end of the summer in the region, so you're certainly going to have struggling factions in Afghanistan. That's something that our military leaders are going to have to wise up to and deal with. In the immediate, what we're going to have to focus on, this administration needs to be laser-light focused on getting our people out of there before things get even more chaotic than they already are. I mean, we're already getting reports of ISIS fighters, of Taliban fighters going door-to-door, hunting down Americans, whether they're American citizens with green cards or passports, or whether they're religious leaders. They're hunting them down. So we need to be completely focused on getting those folks out, getting them home, like this administration promised to do, because anytime you have a regime change like you've had now, where you have an exit that was as chaotic and rapid as we just had in Kabul, it leaves a vacuum and it leaves the door wide open for chaos. And I fear that's what's going to happen with the lack of any kind of structure or organization that's over in that region, particularly when you're at the end of a fighting season. The chaos reigns supreme.
In our final couple of minutes with Ben Williamson, the former deputy assistant to President Trump, as long as I've got you here, I got to ask you, what do you see as the future for President Trump? He's been out on the stump. He's been in Ohio. He's been in Florida. He's been different places. What do you expect from the president, and will he be a factor not just in 2022 but 2024 as well?
You and I got to stay tuned, Kevin. We might find out on the same day. No, listen, he is fired up and engaged. I think these last 3 or 4 weeks have had him as fired up as he ever has been, not only for on the failures of this administration, but real concern for the future of our country, for the future of our military, because it's clear that the leaders we have governing this country really clearly don't know what they're doing, or are clearly willing to make decisions that aren't in the best interest of the country. What I can tell you is he is staying engaged. He's regularly meeting with players that are involved at the local level, at the national level, in Congress or the House and the Senate, giving his feedback with them. He's meeting with political leaders all over the country to see what the next best steps for him are. I think people are going to be pleased with his decision. As he always says, I wish I had a heads up that I could break for you on your show right now, but he's certainly staying engaged and staying in the fight. That you can be sure of.
You are executive director of Freedom First PAC. A lot of people have probably heard of Freedom First PAC, but they don't know what it does or what it is. Can you fill in the blanks for us?
We try to send fighters to Congress, Kevin. We try to send people that are America First conservatives, that love their country, love their districts, love their constituents, to go up and put America first. My longtime boss, Mark Meadows. I was with him in the White House. One of his famous sayings is that so often you send people up to Congress and you think they got a backbone, but then once they get to D.C., you peel it back and it's more like a banana than it is a backbone of steel. And so we like to find backbones of steel, recruit those people, fund those people, and send them to Congress so that they can do the work that the people like President Trump fought so hard to advance over the years. So that's what we do. It's going well. We're seeing a tremendous energy on the ground. Your state has been particularly fired up these last few months, as has states like North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, you name it. So it's the ground looks good. We're going to hopefully get it done.
We have learned the hard way that elections have consequences.
Yes,
and we've got to win an election in 2022 and again in 2024 and turn this state red again. Ben, if folks want to know more about Freedom First Pact, how do they do it?
FreedomFirstPact.com, Kevin. FreedomFirstPact.com. The website is also on Mark Meadows' Facebook page if they're on Facebook. So go there, check us out, get involved if you can.
Ben, we'll have you on again. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
That's Ben Williamson, the former deputy assistant to President Trump, working in the West Wing with Mark Meadows and others, and the executive director of Freedom First PAC. Stick around. You want to hear clips from the president's speech. You were working. You didn't get a chance to hear it. Some of this stuff will make you really, really angry. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand, take AM 670 KMCQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
The legislative session was a predictable mess for those of us who believe in free markets, limited and accountable governments, and individual liberty. However, understanding which lawmakers voted for what bills, well, that's just the beginning of being able to hold our elected officials accountable for their actions. What took place in Carson City during the session goes far beyond just the votes that they cast. Nevada Policy's Legislative Report Card is your complete guide to what happened behind the scenes of Nevada's 81st legislative session. Not only is each lawmaker graded on their actions in key policy areas, but we break down exactly how the process unfolded throughout the session. That includes the backroom deals, the trade-offs, and the political nonsense behind every key piece of legislation. Go to nevadapolicy.org/report card and sign up to be the first to receive our 2021 legislative report card when it comes out this summer. That's nevadapolicy.org/report card. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
Time for a weather update. It's a temperature. It could rain or not. It's either hot or cold. So wear a jacket or don't. Anyway, good luck.
Unclear information isn't helpful, which is why when your car needs repair, head to Meineke Car Care Centers. With Meineke e-inspection, we'll send photos and technician notes straight to your phone, telling you what should be fixed and why. Get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a free lifetime warranty. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
Coach Pete of Capital Financial on his Core and Explore strategies.
So the Core is safe money, but it's also money that you know what kind of income you're going to get from it. It gives you that peace of mind all the way through retirement, by the way, knowing what your income's going to be at the absolute minimum. Could be more, never less. Then the Explore is taking risk, more risk than you ever imagined, because you already got your core in place.
Call Coach Pete and the team, 888-702-6932, 888-702-6932, or text Vegas to 600-700, Vegas to 600-700.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison & Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses